Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. It's great to be able to worship with you in person once again. And as always, thank you for your compliance with all of the necessary COVID protocols. And also thanks for your continued financial support, as the need for helping our neighbors certainly does continue with this pandemic. This morning, we're delighted to have Brad Zimmerman back with us. Last week, he filled in for Andrew. He's multi-talented. This week, he's filling in for Lenora on the piano. Andrew was away last week for his grandmother's funeral, and today, Lenora is away for her father-in-law's funeral services. We certainly express our sympathies for Andrew and his family, and for Lenora and Ken and their families. We also express our deepest gratitude for Brad for being here with us again today. Board members, please stick around, or come back rather, for a very important board meeting, which will be held here in the sanctuary after the 11 o'clock service. It should begin right around noon. We have several important votes needed regarding the future of our youth and children's ministries, as well as our custodial staff. Despite the pandemic and the need for continued social distancing, we are continuing in our endeavors to expand our ministries for the youngest among us and preparing for such time as we're able to resume our children's ministries back to a wider scale. So we do need a quorum of 15 board members, so please, if you can, be present for that meeting today at noon. Then at the same time next week, pending approval of today's vote, we will have a congregational meeting here in the sanctuary to present the same topic in front of the larger congregation of Berry Christian Church. So please welcome Andrew back. Andrew is filling in for himself today as he leads our call to worship.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. We will praise you, O Lord, with all our hearts. We will sing with joy because of you. Thanks be to you, O God, for the privilege to worship you in joy and thanksgiving. Let us sing our opening hymn, number 86, Great is Thy Faithfulness, all stanzas.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
May we bow in a moment of prayer. Almighty God, even during this frustrating time of disease and social restrictions, we're grateful for this privilege to gather here in your house. We thank you for the ability to maintain this physical place of worship, and we also acknowledge that our worship experience is not limited to this building or this location, but that our worship also happens in our communities, in our homes, and in our daily lives. And so we give thanks for the ability to share our faith with each other here this morning, as well as those who cannot be present physically. Lord God, we pray for all who are impacted by the coronavirus, both those in public positions and those who would otherwise be mostly unseen. Guide us, O Lord, that we might maintain a Christian response to the world situation in which we currently live. And now as we begin our worship, may each of us feel the living and loving presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. May be seated.
Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to see you in the Lord's house once again this morning. As we go to God in prayer, we want to lift up Catherine O'Neill's daughter, Susan Mayberger. She's to have surgery on the 13th of October, removal of the appendix, but also there's some concerns with her colon. We continue to lift up Ken and Roxy Weaver in our prayers with the recovery from the knee surgeries. We lift up Jill McCombie, Jim and Phyllis Frinthrop. Kelly Jackson asks us to please continue to remember her mother, Pat, and brother, Brandon. We lift up Jerry Treese's great-nephew, Kenneth Hoyes. We lift up Edna Williams' great-granddaughter, Caitlin Rodriguez. We lift up Judy Settles. We're mindful of Jerry and Betty Donahue with the health concerns Betty continues to experience. We want to continue to remember Rihanna Ralston and Perla Mora's niece, Michelle Valles, and her friend, Mary Ann Sales. J.C. Riddle continues to be in our prayers, as well as Pam Roberts, Dave and Ardeth Haynes' nephew, Kent, and Susan Hanks' daughter, Candace. Certainly Michelle Jacobo, and certainly many others that we've been mindful of over the last several weeks. And may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we are privileged to once again assemble in your house to offer you praise and worship. As your children and believers in Christ Jesus, we pray, O God, that as the psalmist declares in Psalm 19, verse 14, that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, this day and always. For we are indeed humbled by your great love expressed by the presence of your Son. For he left the glory of heaven to become one of us, so that we may experience you in a most intimate and caring way. As John chapter 1, verse 14 reminds us, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Because of what Christ has done for us, we are compelled, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, to serve the Lord with a heart full of devotion. We are encouraged to let our hope keep us joyful, to be patient in our troubles, and to pray at all times, as the 12th verse tells us. And so, Lord, even as we continue to lift up the needs of the many still struggling with the concerns of the virus, and the many still working through the economic trials that have followed, we also give thanks for the privilege to do our part to lighten the burdens of those among us and around us. For as Paul encourages us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, help carry one another's burden, and in this way we will obey the law of Christ. This is our prayer, O God, as we lift it up in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, nor scheme of man can ever block me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Thank you, Andrew, and welcome back. Celebration of the Lord's Supper has always been an important tradition here in the Disciples of Christ worship service. And even during these times of physical limitations where we cannot physically gather at the table or pass the communion elements of the bread and the cup, may we continue to find meaning during this time of our service. Please join in our community reflection, which you will find at the bottom of the first inside page of your bulletin. Brothers and sisters, what good is it for someone to say that one has faith if one's actions do not prove it? Is there anyone among us who is wise and understanding? One should be able to prove one's faith by one's good life and by the good deeds one performs, with humility and wisdom. Our hymn of contemplation is number 345. Thy life was given for me. We will sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5.
Thy life was given for me. Thy blood, O Lord, was shed, that I might ransomed be and quicken from the dead. Thy life was given for me. What have I given for thee? Thy life was given for me. What have I given for thee? Thy Father's home of life, the rainbow circled throne, were left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. Yea, all was left for me. Have I left aught for thee? Yea, all was left for me. Have I left aught for thee? Oh, let my life be gave, my years for thee be spent, world fetters all be riven, and joy with suffering blent. Thou gavest thyself for me, I gave myself to thee. Thou gavest thyself for me, I gave myself to thee.
Scripture reading I'd like to share with you this morning. This is James, the third chapter, verses 13 through 18. Is there anyone among you who is wise and understanding? He is to prove it by his good life, by his good deeds performed with humility and wisdom. But if in your heart you are jealous, bitter, and selfish, don't sin against the truth by boasting of your wisdom. Such wisdom does not come from heaven. It belongs to the world, and it is unspiritual and demonic. Where there is jealousy and selfishness, there is also disorder and every kind of evil. But the wisdom from above is pure, first of all. It is also peaceful, gentle, and produces a harvest of good deeds that is free from prejudice and hypocrisy. And goodness is the harvest that is produced from the seeds that peacemakers plant in peace. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we're grateful for the day and the privilege to once again assemble in your house. For here, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we know we experience the fullness of your presence through your Spirit, and we are encouraged by the opportunity to see one another. Lord God, as we draw upon your word, we're given guidance for living the kind of life that truly can bring glory to your kingdom and inspire others to know of you. For that privilege, we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Last week in this 316 series, we focused on Paul's last known letter to become a part of the New Testament. You may recall that was the book of the New Testament called 2 Timothy, written to the younger evangelist and pastor whom Paul regarded as if he were his own son. Now, as we are getting closer to the end of the New Testament, we only have three books remaining in the New Testament that have 316 verses in context worth considering. And these particular verses in today's lesson, and also next week's lesson especially, don't really possess an essence worth committing to memory, as some of our verses have. But certainly there are portions of text here in that third chapter that merit understanding and consideration for our faith journey. Now, the ones we're going to be looking at in the next 3 weeks are today, James, then we're going to look at 1 Peter, then we're going to look at Revelation. Now, you may have noticed that I have skipped over 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Because, remember, in our second message in this 316 series, I lifted up, you know, the very first one was John 316, because that's our big theme. Then we looked up 1 John 316, because I said you can remember John 316, you can remember 1 John 316, and because I still believe, after all the research I've done on this series, that John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16 are really the crown jewels of this series. You may recall 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Christ gave his life for us. We then ought to give our lives for others. That is just as powerful as a text. As for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, what? Will not perish, but have everlasting life. This is actually our 12th 316 verse in this series. Can you believe it? You know? And now there's some text I haven't even looked at, because truth is, there's nothing about that particular verse or the context that's worth lifting up without going into other parts of a particular book of the New Testament. And frankly, there are several books in the New Testament that don't have chapters 3 and a 16th verse, because they're so short. But here for our 12th message in this 316 series, we are looking at this book of James. Now, the book of James originated as a sermon preached in the Aramaic language by James, the half-brother of Jesus. And James was likely written down by someone else, not by James himself. But then it was also translated into the Greek language so that it could be shared with Greek-speaking people. Because again, remember, Jesus, he didn't speak English. He spoke Aramaic, right? So it would have been the case of many of his Jewish followers. And as it was translated into the Greek language, there was some information added to it that could help the message appeal to the church at large. In fact, if you look at the introduction, it says, "Greetings to all God's people scattered over all the world." Now, when James was originally speaking to Jewish Christian converts, he wasn't speaking to all the world. He was speaking to those particular folks. There are also 23 quotations from the Sermon on the Mount in this book, and it was likely first addressed to Jewish Christian believers. The sermon is a collection of practical instructions illustrated by the use of several figures of speech to present instruction about practical wisdom and guidance concerning one's Christian attitudes and conduct. For example, James chapter 1, verse 26. Does anyone think he is religious? Again, thinking of that Jewish environment that these people had grown up in, being Jewish meant everything, right? And so here, translating that into being Christian would mean everything. So your religious behavior would mean a lot to you. But here James asks the question, does anyone think he is religious? If one does not control one's tongue, one's religion is worthless, and that person deceives oneself. Good bit of wisdom there, isn't it? Well, worth remembering. Another piece of sound advice, James chapter 1, verse 19. Everyone must be quick to listen, but slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Boy, some of us really need to put that on our wall in the living room, right? Again, a precious little jewel of a text. Everyone must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Throughout the book, there's a great emphasis upon the idea that one's faith, which is the ideas that one holds to affirm one's belief and worship in God, must not simply be words and ideas kept in one's head. James firmly believed, as did the Apostle Paul, that one's day-to-day behavior and actions were also just as important as what one believed. It is faith that shows itself in action that counts. As the old expression goes, sometimes you are the only Bible that other people read. Right? And so in James chapter 2, verse 14, James declares, "My brothers and sisters, what good is it for someone to say that one has faith if one's actions do not prove it?" And the insistence that one's verbal skills be disciplined and tempered by one's Christian beliefs is perfectly clear, as he also states, "If one does not control one's tongue, one's religion is worthless, and one deceives oneself." Now, as we approach this third chapter for today's message, and as rabbis were greatly revered in the past Jewish heritage of these people, James offers a word of caution to those among them who would be interested in taking on that rabbinic role. For the words of such teachers, just like the words of the rabbis before them, are powerful tools that can either be beneficial or can be destructive. So James goes into a discussion about the tongue, or the words of the teacher, as being like a rudder on a mighty ship. For just as a ship can be controlled by such a small rudder, he says, so also does the tongue have a powerful influence upon the listening students. And from then, speaking about teachers, of course we know also that rabbis held wisdom as the pinnacle the strength of their office, if you will. It was one thing to be a rabbi. It was another thing to be a rabbi who possessed wisdom. But what is wisdom? It is the application of spiritual truths tempered by sound judgment and experience. This was cherished among Jewish people, so it was also cherished among these Jewish Christian people. And coming from this Jewish heritage, James and his listeners were certainly aware of the powerful influence their rabbis possessed over the religious training of their flock. So the words and advice that they offer needed to be tempered with sound wisdom. And again, James knew also that words were not enough to help the novice believers. The actions portrayed what would be that which the pupils would certainly observe, right? Thus, James asked in the beginning portion of this morning's text, we're looking at James chapter 3, verse 13. Is there anyone among us who is wise and understanding? That person is to prove it by one's good life and by one's good deeds performed with humility and wisdom. And then in the second portion of this third chapter, still thinking of the significant influence of Jewish rabbis and Christian teachers, James offers a great caution about those who might start getting what we would call the big head, right? Thinking that they are truly wise in and of themselves. If such teachers are actually motivated by the need to puff up their egos or their own sense of pride and self-worth, then their words and actions are not from God, but instead are influenced by the ways of the world. As James declared in James chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, but if in your heart you are jealous, bitter, and selfish, don't sin against the truth by boasting of your wisdom. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. It belongs to the world. It is unspiritual and demonic. You ever known some folks who had just big egos, but yet their thoughts about how to live life and their actions was really all motivated about what it meant to take care of number one, right? That's the wisdom of the world. And then we come to the 16th verse, which still dwells on a rather negative tone and does not have that memorable impact so many of our previous 3:16 verses have had. It says, where there's jealousy and selfishness, there's also disorder and every kind of evil. So see, that's not worth memorizing like some of the other verses, is it? No. So we move on into the 17th and 18th verse. James turns to the more affirming aspect of wisdom that is not from one's worldly influences, but rather comes from God, as James continues in that 17th verse. But the wisdom from above is pure, first of all. It is also peaceful, gentle, and produces a harvest of good deeds. It is free from prejudice and hypocrisy. And so once again, we see James emphasizing the harvest of good deeds that come when the teacher of the faith, or even ordinary Christian believers, keep their focus on the spiritual wisdom and understanding that comes not from within oneself, but comes from God. And as Christian believers knew in James' times, as we know in our time, the best example that we have of wisdom from above is who? None other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31, Christ Jesus and God has made Christ to be our wisdom. By him we are put right with God. We become God's holy people and are set free. So then, as the scripture says, whoever wants to boast must boast of what the Lord has done. And still thinking about the great blessing of faith that proves itself in good works, James declares in our last verse for this morning, that 18th verse, and goodness is the harvest that is produced from the seeds that peacemakers plant in peace. Meaning that by focusing our attention on Christ's ways, there is certainly absence of self-pride and boastfulness. And goodness prevails that brings about peace and harmony that truly is of Christ. So in summary, this small portion of the book of James, James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, encourages Christian teachers to stay far away from man-made self-serving wisdom that is ultimately one's folly and failure. The true belief in Christ is humbled by the teachings and examples that Jesus gives us. Thus we find true understanding and wisdom in Christ. And realizing today that this New Testament book of James began as a sermon originally spoken by James, the half-brother of Jesus, the content of the book helps us realize the powerful transformation that actually took place in the life of Jesus' half-brother. For you see, there are several texts that remind us that James and his siblings, for the duration of Jesus' earthly ministry, were skeptical of Jesus. They did not believe that he was the Messiah. You know the old adage that familiarity breeds contempt? Imagine how Jesus' siblings observed Jesus and what they thought about him as he journeyed on doing his ministry. Well, who does he think he is anyway? Remember, even the folks in Nazareth were unwilling to accept him as being the Messiah, and they almost just pushed him over one of those cliff sides that were so prevalent in the community of Nazareth. Who does he think he is? He's got the big head. All those miracles he's performing, they're not really anything. Must just be a bunch of evil magic. Who is he? Don't we remember him? He was just Joseph's oldest son, a carpenter by trade. Here he is, putting himself off as a rabbi. Imagine the commentary. And yet, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7, Paul reports to us that Jesus, in his resurrected form, appeared to James in Christ's resurrected appearances and words. His godly wisdom changed James' heart and his mind. We don't know what happened in that experience, but we do know it was significant enough that Paul makes note of it. When James experienced the risen Christ, it transformed his attitude, his heart, his mind, and he became a true believer. And James expressed his faith in action by becoming the primary leader of the church in Jerusalem, to whom even the Apostle Paul sought after for support during his ministries. And in 61 AD, James became a martyr for the faith by being thrown from the pinnacle of the Jerusalem temple. And even that fall did not kill him. And so he was beaten to death with a club. And we can see in this book of James that in his preaching, James was diligent in the task of encouraging these Jewish converts to humbly accept the ways of Christ and not only experience and believe in the wisdom of God in Christ, but to live out an example of Christ's great love through their own deeds and their personal witness. You know, we can get caught up in our own man-made wisdom, can't we? Many get caught up in the thoughts about evolution and choose to believe that there is no God. Many can get caught up in their own sense of self-worth and believe that the Bible is nothing more than man-made myths. Yet, like James, we need to humble ourselves before the risen Christ and realize that God's great wisdom reigns supreme as we humbly accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and as our own beliefs translate to action that becomes a wonderful witness for others. This is the story of the book of James. It will take you longer than the commercials to read this book, but I would encourage you sometime this week, take the time, read the book of James in its entirety. Note that there are many catchphrases well worth remembering about how we ought to live our lives. Phrases well worth putting on the bulletin board or putting on the sign on that wall. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. And maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship. We turn to our hymn of invitation this morning, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. We're going to sing all stanzas of number 576, please. 576.
My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy. Grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside.
As Jim mentioned, we want to encourage our board members to please attend the board meeting that will be at 12 noon here in the sanctuary. It won't be a long meeting, but it is a very important meeting as we are especially seeking to offer up the personnel committee's recommendation that we bring Kathy Connell on board as full-time youth director, who would also be living in the parsonage, and then for Kathy Gorman to become our custodian for the congregation. All of this has been able to come about because our custodians actually moved out of the parsonage this week and headed on down to Texas as they are making their new home just north of the Austin area, as Trevin was able to get what looks to be a really good, encouraging job for him down in Texas. So please come today. We need to have that quorum of 15 people so we can have our vote. May we offer a word of prayer. Lord God, as we depart from your house, we give thanks for the experience and privilege to be here. Guide us in ways that we know of your great grace, mercy, and peace. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen.
Hold my children with my blessing, never alone. Waking, sleeping, I am with you. You are my own. In my love's baptism,
baptismal river, I have made you mine forever. Go, my children, with my blessing, you are my own. Go, my children, fed and nourished closer to me. Grow in love and love by serving joyful and free. Hear my Spirit's power fill you. Hear His tender comfort still you. Go, my children, fed and nourished, joyful and free.